This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
As-salatu as-salamu ala al-ma'uthi rahmatillil alameen Nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim Amma ba'd Al-yawm La'ashir al-shahr jumada al-ula Alfun wa arba'umiyatin wa 46 الموافق ل 12 من شهر نوفمبر 2024 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك رياض الصالحين أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر لي المؤلف ويرفع درجته في الأليين. So today we'll be dealing with a new chapter. يقول الإمام النووي رحمه الله باب آداب النوم والاضطجاع والقعود والمجلس والجلس والرؤية. So this is a chapter that will talk about the adab of an-nawm, sleeping, and also lying down, sitting down, and also looking for a good jalis, somebody who will sit to give you inas, and also warruya. So inshallah, each and every one of these part of the chapter will be covered by the hadith mentioned by Imam Nawawi under this chapter. And the first hadith is the hadith of Al-Bara' bin Azib. قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا أوى إلى فراشه نام على شقه الأيمن ثم قال اللهم إني أسلمت نفسي إليك وجهت وجهي إليك وفوضت أمري إليك وألجأت ظهري إليك رغبة ورهبة إليك لا ملجأ ولا منجا منك إلا إليك آمنت بكتابك الذي أنزلت وبنبيك الذي أرسلت أو نبيك الذي أرسلت. البراء بن عازب رضي الله عنه صاحب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم كان إذا أوى إلى فراشه. When the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم reached his bed, نام على شقه الأيمن, he sleeps on the right side. And that's the best way for a person to sleep. In the past, they used to have wrong thinking that if you sleep on the left side, your heart will rest. But then now, I think science led us to see something different, which is we are putting pressure actually on the heart, which is not good for it if you sleep on the left side. And experience can confirm this also. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Bara' said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sleeps on the right side. Ibn al-Qayyim said, because if you sleep on the right side, your heart will not relax, it will be hanging. So your sleep is not going to be deep. In the way, inshaAllah, simple thing can wake you up to pray the Qiyam, and also to go for Fajr prayer. Your sleep is not going to be deep. You can wake up for Qiyam al-Layl, and bi-idhnillahi Azza wa Jalla also be able to wake up easily for Fajr prayer. So apart from the health you will be gaining, and also there is another virtue which is that mentioned by Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah. Because we are not the ummah of sleeping the whole night. You must, and you should, have some moment of the night and pray to Rabbul Alameen. So you need something to support you in that, and the way you sleep also matters. That's why the best and the most excellent method of sleeping is that of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to sleep on the right side. You'll be able, بإذن الواحد الأحد, to wake up at night to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Muhammad al-Qahtani says, He says, "Kun fid duja, watlul kitaba, wala tanam, illa kanawmati ha'irin walhani, falarubbama ta'ti al-baniyatu baghtatan, fatusaqu min furushin ila al-akfani. Ya habbadha aynani fi ghasaqid duja min khashyati ar-rahmani bakiyatan." In his book, Nunat al-Qahtaniya, he says, "Kun fid duja, watlul kitaba, wala tanam, illa kanawmati ha'irin walhani." He said, "Be a person whose night is not all about sleeping." He said, "Get some part of your night and read the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and don't sleep except a little." Allah says, "Kanu qalilan min al-layli ma yahja'un wa bil asharihum yastaghfirun." He says, "Illa kanawmati ha'irin walhani." Your sleep should be that khafif kind of sleep, a sleep of somebody who is not in a state of comfort. If there is something bothering you at night, you will not be able to sleep properly. So what he wants to tell you now is that sleep with the worry of not being able to wake up at night, inshallah you'll be able to wake up at night, because your sleep is going to be light. He says, فَلَرُبَّمَا تَأْتِ الْمَنِيَّةُ بَغْتَةً فَتُسَاقُ مِنْ فُرُشٍ إِلَى الْأَكْفَانِ. He said, the reason why I'm advising you like this, it is simply because perhaps death might come at night and snatch you, and وَلِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ, you will be taken from فُرُش إِلَى الْأَكْفَانِ, يُوَاللَّهِ, you will be taken from the bed to the coffin. Imagine a person just wake up and find himself in the coffin. There are some who will wake up like this. There are some people, others have to go and break their door. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already taken their life. So that's why he says, try your best, don't just go and sleep just like that. Do something for yourself. Maybe that will be the last time you have in this dunya of ours. So read the book of Allah, pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have an excellent conclusion to your life. Because if you do those things and then sleep, that will be the last activity you do in your life, an act of worship. That will be, inshallah, husnul khatima bi idhni wahidil ahad. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has sleep on the right side. And then after that, he says, Allahumma inni aslamtu nafsi ilayk. Wallahi hayatu nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam akmalul hayat. There is no life that is better than the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From A to Z, full of ibadat, the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this life, wallahi, is really, really interesting. If your life is like this, full of consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will always be at ease. You have the peace of mind and you relax. Where everyone is depressed, you will not be depressed. Trust me, my dear brothers and sisters. Make your life like this, like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, always being mindful of Allah. You know, even in the last minute, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to sleep. Subhanallah, he sleeps under this confession. He says, Ya Allah, inni aslamtu nafsi ilayk. I'm submitting my soul to you. Allahu yatawaffa al-anfusa hina mawtiha. Allah, take the soul when they die. وَالَّتِي لَمْ تَمُتْ فِي مَنَامِهَا. Because we have two types of death, minor and the major. Both, you know, death, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking the life and the soul of that person. The first one is complete taken, where there is no connection between the soul and the body. Gone completely. And the second one, the soul is gone, but there's still strong connection between it and the body. That's why anything that hit you a bit, or sound that comes, you wake up, the soul will come back immediately. In less than a blink of an eye, it is already there, because it's already connected with the body, but it goes to the place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to keep it. He says, فَيُمْسِكُ الَّتِي قَضَى عَلَيْهَا الْمَوْتِ. The one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that this soul is dead already, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep it with him. وَيُرْسِلُ الْأُخْرَى إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى. And he will send the other one to complete the time Allah SWT prescribed for it in this dunya. وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا جَرَحْتُمْ بِالنَّهَارِ وَمَا كَسَبْتُمْ بِالنَّهَارِ. Allah is the one who takes your soul at night. And he knows exactly what you guys are doing in the daytime. ثُمَّ يَبْعَثُكُمْ فِيهِ لِيُقُضَى أَجَلٌ مُسَمَّى. Allah SWT will bring you up from your sleep, from your minor death, so that you can complete the time Allah SWT prescribed for you in this dunya. ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ مَرْجِعُكُمْ ثُمَّ يُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. You're going to go back to Allah SWT at the end of the day, and everyone will receive from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that which he did in this life. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he goes to sleep, he will say, Ya Allah, inni aslamtu nafsi ilayk, I'm giving my soul to you. Wa wajjahtu wajhi ilayk, directing my face to you, Ya Allah. Wa fawwadtu amri ilayk, Ya Allah, all of my affairs, I leave them with you. Choose for me that which is better for me. Subhanallah. وَالْجَأْتُ ظَهْرِي إِلَيْكِ. You know when you put your back towards something, you're looking for sanad, support. He says, Ya Allah, you're the only one that I'm looking for, his support. You know, this is the end of the day of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. SubhanAllah. رَغْبَةً وَرَحْبَةً إِلَيْكِ. And I'm doing all of this while maintaining the balance of the fear and a hope in that which is with you, Ya Allah. Because these are the two pillars of ibadah, al-khawf wa-raja. And you have the third one is al-muhabba, al-hub. قَالَ رَغْبَةً وَرَغْبَةً إِلَيْكَ لَا مَلْجَ وَلَا مَنْجَ مِنْكَ إِلَّا إِلَيْكَ. That's really beautiful. It says there is no place that a person can go and protect himself. And there is no place that a person can go to defend himself. He cannot go to a place and hide. That's the malja, the makan al-luju, refuge. You're looking for a place where you can go and hide. And there is no place that a person can go and escape from your punishment when you're looking for him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is the only one that has this quality. Yijiru wa la yijaru alayhi. Yijiru means he protects. However, وَلَا يَجَارُ عَلَيْهِ. If he's looking for somebody, nobody can protect that person. SubhanAllah. If you come to him, nobody can touch you. If he's looking for you, no place you can go to protect yourself. Except one place. What is this place? To go back to him. Submit yourself completely. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La malja wa la manja minka illa ilayk." La manja wa la malja wa la manja minka illa ilayk. That's the meaning of wa huwa yajir wa la yajru alayhi. Allah protects, and if he's looking for somebody, nobody can protect that one from Rabbul Alameen. Look at Fir'aun, la'natullahi alayhi. He was looking for who? Musa. How many babies he killed? Allahu alam. Some scholars are saying 17,000 children died because of, you know, arrogance of Fir'aun. And he wants to get Musa. All of these, you know, people that he has been killing, he just want Musa alayhi salam. But he forgot he's dealing with Rabbul Alameen. Allah, hide from somebody? Who is that? None. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want Musa to be next to his mother in their house, the protection to be there. Allah took him to the house of Fir'aun. قَالَ يَأْخُذْهُ عَدُوٌ لِي وَعَدُوٌ لَهُ. Allah took Musa alayhi salam to the house of Fir'aun. Don't forget, Fir'aun spent ages killing babies looking for Musa. Allah took Musa and put him in the house of Fir'aun. And he did not disguise the image of Musa alayhi salam in a way he doesn't look like Bani Israel. No, he looks like Bani Israel. Because when they see him, they know that this is not from Aqbat, from Bani Israel. However, لَعَمْرُكْ ما الأبصار تنفع أهلها إذا لم يكن للمبصرين بصائر. Eyes cannot benefit their bearer as long as the inside is being removed. The eyes of Fir'aun, the akal of Fir'aun, none of them was functioning at that time. Allah says, وَأَلْقَيْتُمَ عَلَيْكَ مَحَبَّةً مِنِّي وَلِتُسْنَى عَلَىٰ عَيْنِي. Subhanallah. He was fighting Rabbul Alameen. Allah says, we'll bring the child for you. You're going to take care of him by yourself. That's Rabbul Alameen. These privileges, you know, they're still here with us, you know. If you're so much dedicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, until the day of judgment, Allah stands for the righteous people. كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَأَغْلِبَنَّ أَنَا وَرُسُلِي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. He said he has written a promise that he must win, he and his messengers and his prophets, and those who are righteously following those prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messengers. So Fir'aun couldn't do anything. وَهُوَ يَجِيرُ وَلَا يَجَارُ عَلَيْهِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when they were looking for him, they reached the cave of Thawb. All that they have to do is just look a bit down, they can see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not care. Abu Bakr worried so much. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, relax. مَا ظَنُّكَ بِثْنَيْنِ اللَّهُ ثَالِثُهُمَا. What do you think about two people? Allah is there, third with them. فَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ سَكِينَةَهُ عَلَيْهِ وَأَيَّدَهُ بِجُنُودٍ لَمْ تَرَوْهَا وَجَعَلَ كَلِمَةَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا السُّفْلَى وَكَلِمَةُ اللَّهِ هِيَ الْعُلِيَا. Ey Allah, my dear brothers and sisters, look for this privilege, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aim for this. Do everything possible to make sure that you are counted among those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. That's the peak of protection we get in this dunya, because if He loves you, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, angels will love you, and Allah will put your love on the earth. You'll be loved by everyone. Ibn Rajab said, it is so amazing to see the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes assigns your enemy to be your protectors. He quoted some stories in his book Jami'ul Ulum wal Hikam to support this, which some scholars of hadith says these stories have issues with them in terms of authenticity of the sanad, but at the same time, we don't need them. Whether they're authentic, they're authentic. The case of the story of Musa is more than enough. Your enemy will be the one who will be preserving and protecting. That's Rabbul Alameen. Ala kulli shay'in qadeer. He came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, the woman was in front of him, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was standing next to her. Well, sitting next to her. And she couldn't see him. She saw Abu Bakr, but she couldn't see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She kept on asking Abu Bakr, where is your friend? He was surprised, this woman, is she blind or what? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was just next to him. She got annoyed. She kept on cursing. مُذَمَّمًا أَعْصَيْنَا وَدِينُهُ قَلَيْنَا وَأَمْرُهُ أَبَيْنَا. She kept on making that poetry, calling Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam مُذَمَّمًا. SubhanAllah, she made a mistake. She's in with the smartest person who has no time for these type of issues. He told Abu Bakr, he said, Abu Bakr, it is quite interesting the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking away from me the curses of Quraysh. Wallahi, this is a manhaj that you should take. Sometimes people try to bully you, give you certain names, and you worry so much, and you reply, it becomes a big issue, and all of these things. Trust me, smart decision in these type of matters is to keep silent, not to reply. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Abu Bakr, he says, it's quite interesting the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking away from me the curses of these guys. Abu Bakr said, what do you mean? He said, I heard them saying Mudhammam. He said, they were cursing Mudhammam, and they're abusing Mudhammam, they're insulting Mudhammam. He said, my name is Muhammad, I'm not Mudhammam. So that means whenever they talk, they're talking to somebody else, thinking they're referring to me, but this is not my name, you know. His name is Muhammad. He said, look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking away the curses and the insult of the Quraysh from me. I found it very interesting, manhaj, to deal with those people who think they can insult others unjustly. The best method is to ignore. Just pretend you don't know anything. I'm telling you, sometimes actually it's more hurting then you reply. It hurts so much. Because the message you are sending to them is that you don't have time for stupidities and idiocies. You should look for somebody else. They understand. Don't you ever think that they don't understand? They do understand. Allah says, وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. I know. Imam Shafi'i said, إِذَا نَطَقَ السَّفِيُّهُ فَلَا تُجِبُهُ وَخَيْرٌ مِّنْ إِجَابَتِهِ السُّكُوتُ. He says, when an idiot person talk against you, insulted you, he said, do not reply. It is always better for you to keep silent. So back to the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَا مَلْجَأْ وَلَا مَنْجَأْ مِنْكَ إِلَّا إِلَيْكَ آمَنْتُ بِكِتَابِكَ الَّذِي أَنْزَلْتُ. What a nice conclusion. He said, آمَنْتُ بِكِتَابِكَ الَّذِي أَنْزَلْتُ. I believe in the book, your book that you have sent to us. What is that book? Quran and the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam received two things, Quran and the Sunnah. Ala inni utitu al-Quran wa mithlahu ma'ahu. Allah has given me Quran and something similar to it. Amantu bi kitabika alladhi anzalta wa bi nabiyyika alladhi arsalta. And also I believe in your prophet that I have sent. Was teaching, accompanying this dua, and then he asked him to repeat what he said. When he reached this part, then he changed wa bi nabiyyika to wa bi rasulika. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not happy with that. He said, did I ask you to say Nabi or Rasul? He said, Nabi. He said, keep it like that. That's the reason why the scholar said, when it comes to ibadat, a person should always wait for the command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to do what he is supposed to be doing. You don't initiate, you don't introduce, you don't become creative in bringing new ibadat. That which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us is more than enough for us. Innovation in the matters of ibadat is totally rejected, 100% rejected. It is accepted when it comes to the mu'amalat. You're supposed to innovate. You're supposed to maintain perfection. Bring something new. Always go deep in bringing those new things. But when it comes to the ibadat, the Prophet ﷺ said, whatever happened to thee with the religion, he said, فَكِلُوهُ إِلَيْهِ. Leave it with me. And Aisha radiallahu anha said, مَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَا هَذَا مَا لَيْسَ مِنْهُ فَهُوَ رَدُّ. She said, Rasulullah ﷺ said, whoever introduce something in this affair of ours which is not part of it, it will be rejected. قال وعنه أي البراء بن عازب رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا أتيت مضجعك فتوضع وضوءك للصلاة ثم اضطجع على شقك الأيمن وقل وجعلهن آخر وذكر نحوه وفيه وجعلهن آخر ما تقول. البراء بن عازب said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told me that whenever you go to sleep, he said, فَتَوَضَّعْ وُضُوءَكَ لِلصَّلَاةِ. Yeah, this is one of the sunnah that a person should train himself and make sure you sleep on the wudu. Trust me, my dear brothers and sisters, if you are experiencing a lot of nightmares when you sleep, every day see nightmares, the best remedy is this one. Make wudu before you sleep. Make wudu before you sleep. And also recite Ayatul Kursi from A to Z. And also if you are not lazy, put your hand together, blow three times, read Qul Huwallahu Ahad, Qul A'udhu Birabbin Nas, Qul A'udhu Birabbil Falaq, and then rub whatever you can rub in from your body. And then sleep. If you are not lazy, please don't forget this dua. It takes a few seconds, you are done. Bi-idhnillah azza wa jalla, inshallah, nightmares will not come to your dreams. Sometimes you have empty sleep. Even the good dreams also will not come. But I'm scared somebody will say, okay, I want the good dreams, then doesn't go for those ones. But that's true, my dear brothers and sisters. Sleeping according to the sunnah prevents you from having all of these tragedies. Something that can distort your sleep. Make wudu Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually told us that wudu is a sign of faith. He said, "Wala yuhafidhu ala al-wudu illa mu'min," and nobody takes care of wudu except a believer. And usually, shayateen don't come closer to a person who is in a state of wudu. So train yourself actually not just for sleeping purposes. Whenever you lost wudu, renew another one. Always be in a state of tahara. The influences of the shayateen will be reduced. And you also, the kind of feeling that you have in you are in the tahara, it will help you be idhnillahi ta'ala to stay away from ma'asi, idhnillah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, make wudu just like the way you are making wudu when you are about to pray. قَالَ ثُمَّ اطَّجِعْ عَلَى شِقِّكَ الْأَيْمَنِ, and then you sleep on the right side. ثُمَّ اطَّجِعْ عَلَى شِقِّكَ الْأَيْمَنِ, and then you sleep on the right side. وَقُلْ, and then he told him, you should say the same dua he said earlier. اللهم إني أسلمت نفسي إليك وَالْجَهْرُ ظَهْرِي إِلَيْكَ وَالْجَهْرُ وَجْهِي إِلَيْكَ, until the end of that dua. وفي رواية قال وذكر, in the same narration, قال وذكر نحوه وفيه وجعلهن آخر ما تقول. In that second narration, he told Al-Bara, he said, let this dua be the last thing you will be saying before you sleep. When you lie down on your bed, finish your Ayatul Kursi, قل أعوذ برب الناس برب الفلق, finish all of those ones, and then the last thing before you close your eyes, make this dua. And then close your eyes and sleep. Let it be the last statement you utter before you sleep. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you die in that night after mentioning this dua, mitta alil fitra, you will be dying according to the fitra, the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a very good incentive and advice from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as he always give us nice and excellent advices. So please don't be lazy. It's for your own benefit, and for those who have children, teach your kids also to train yourself to do these before sleeping. At least making wudu and the Ayatul Kursi. قال وأنا عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يصلي من الليل 11 ركعة فإذا طلع الفجر صلى ركعتين خفيفتين ثم اضطجع على شقه الأيمن حتى يجيء المؤذن فيؤذنه. Aisha radiallahu anha said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana yusalli min al-layl 11 rak'ah. He used to pray 11 rak'ah only. She said neither in Ramadan nor after Ramadan the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never added on top of 11 rak'ah. That's why Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, this is the best method, the best number to be chosen. He said, although there is no any place in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam restricted it to 11, no place exists. Aisha was just talking about the choice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is the best choice. You get more reward when you take this than taking any other amount. You get it? Ibn Taymiyyah says the Salaf al-Saleh, righteous predecessors, they don't have a specific number when it comes to the Qiyam al-Layl. Some of them pray this, some of them pray that, because there is nothing says you have to restrict yourself to this from the sunnah of the Prophet. He said, Salatul Layli Mathna Mathna. Night prayer is two. Until the time you are afraid of Fajr to come, then you pray one rak'ah to be witr. He did not say pray only 11. And that sister who visited the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked about her, who is she? They told him, Ya Rasulullah, she's the one who is praying the whole night. He said, Ma alaykum bima tudaykun. Do what you can afford to it. Inna Allah la yamallu hatta tamallu. Abdullah ibn Amr, also who was praying the whole night, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never told him to restrict yourself to 11. However, that was a choice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we believe his choice is the best of choices by consensus of the scholars. It's better for you to stick to that, especially it's more moderate. You can read a lot calmly, you know. But don't say the one who is making more than that is committing innovation, because almost all the predecessors in the past, with the exception of few, but all the madhahib, to my knowledge, as Sheikh Musab mentioned, they agree that it is not limited, but it is better for you to choose that which Rasulullah chose for himself. So inshallah, I will emphasize on this in the next class, because this is a matter that every Ramadan you expect debates to come on this. There are several matters. Whenever Ramadan comes, debate is always emerging. One of them is this. So let's see what the Prophet ﷺ advises on it, so that we'll be able to do the right thing without getting any blame by Rabbul Alameen. May Allah grant us tawfiq and be with us wherever we are. إِنَّهُ بِكُلِّ جَمِيلٍ كَفِيرٍ سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد. Okay, the first question is about this dua the Prophet ﷺ taught us to say when we go to sleep. Can we just do it randomly at any time we want? The best for a Muslim is to keep what the Prophet ﷺ kept in a place. Just do it in that place. Because we do have many other ad'iyah. So every dhikr, said do it at this moment, just keep that dhikr in that place. Inshallah, when you want to make another one, you will find some guidance from Rasulullah ﷺ also to address that moment. So the best is to keep everything kept by the Prophet ﷺ in the way he kept it. This is better for you. In every dhikr or dua, the Prophet ﷺ used to make it on certain moments of time. Yeah, we have a lot of adiyah. So rather than taking this one, putting it there, you know, keep the choice of the Prophet ﷺ, because we believe the way he put it is the best way to put it, with no doubt. So it's better to always keep it in the way he kept it, and then look for other adiyah, put them in those places in the way the Prophet ﷺ also kept them. You know. Sending salah perfect. When you are mentioning, they were asking if, let's say, you are making dua, and then adhkar, and then the name of the Prophet ﷺ comes, can you stop and just say sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or make the full salat al Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The best is to make the same text in the way it came. Put it like that. And then don't be stingy. Right after that, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. You get double reward. Keeping the text in the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam kept it, and then after that make salah on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Somebody is asking if he makes wudu before sleeping, and then before he goes to sleep the wudu was gone. Is he supposed to go and make it again? Yes. Yeah, he should go and make it again. But if, let's say, he already slept, and then of course the wudu most likely is gone, that doesn't affect inshallah. That wudu will be intact bi-idhnillahi ta'ala until he wakes up.
Cat.
Is it sunnah to keep cat at home? First question in its nature. It's halal. The Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّهَا لَيْسَ بِنَجِسٍ إِنَّهَا مِنَ الطَّوَّفِينَ عَلَيْكُمْ أَوَ الطَّوَّفَاتِ. It's halal, permissible for a person to have cat at home.
Being two.
And this is, inshallah, in the next class, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, will address this matter about praying two rakat in the night prayer. And also the sentiment of those scholars who say it's the Salafus Salih. In the past, this is their manhaj. And also looking at the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, no sunnah ever said this is the only thing that you can do. But everyone knows that it is always better for a Muslim to be satisfied with that which the Prophet ﷺ chose for himself. And that's it. And now, the most moderate one and the best one to be done. But he says, Salatul Layl Mathna Mathna. فَإِذَا خَشِيتَ الصُّبْحَ فَصَلِّ وَاحِدَةً تُوْتِرُ لَكَ مَا قَدْ صَلَّيْتَ. So inshallah, in the next class, I will enlighten us about that statement of Shaykh al-Islam and many other scholars concerning the matter, inshallah.
Read dua for children.
Yeah, when you read dua for the children, if the dhamir is your dhamir, you know, the pronouns, you know, is addressing you talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like that, then when you are making it for the kids, you change the dhamir also to be their dhamir. Yeah, Rasulullah ﷺ used to do the dua for Hassan and Hussein, أُعِيذُكُمَا بِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ تَامَّ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْطَانٍ وَهَامَّ وَمِنْ كُلِّ عَيْنٍ لَامَّ بَدَلًا مِنْ أَعُوذُ بِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ تَامَّ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقَ. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.